In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. It's good to see so many of you here this week following Easter in the midst of colds and flus and travels which have hit many in this time. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find at the inside aisles and pass them down the pews so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. And we certainly invite you to share any information that you would like to share with us about how to contact you. Our May-June newsletter went out this morning via email to folks, so if you would like to receive that electronically and are not already on our mailing list, please add your information so that we might add you and send you forth that information as we get ready to move into the next season of the church year. Please plan to join us for a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary after worship this morning as we meet and greet one another and celebrate our lives together in this time. Also this morning, the church nominating committee, the officer nominating committee for elders and deacons will be meeting after worship upstairs in the couches room. Please keep them in prayer as they seek to look for elders and deacons who will ably serve us as we move into the next chapters of our life together. And if you have any suggestions on those folks, please, you may talk to Sharon Gibson on the committee, Jenny Surgner, who's chair of the committee, Kathy Cooper, who's on the committee, Sanford Lee, who I'm sure will be here shortly, and Gladys Brown as well on the committee. I think I remembered everybody. So please let us know, or you can speak with me. I'll be working with that committee as well. Next Sunday, our Communion Sunday, first Sunday in May, we have the joyous opportunity to celebrate worship and preaching leadership by Reverend Claudio Carvales, who Claudio is a friend of this congregation for many years when he served as the organizing pastor as Christ is Life congregation in Fall River, the Brazilian congregation there. And he is the newly elected professor at McCormick Seminary starting in the fall. He's been at several seminaries preaching. You are not going to want to miss Claudio leading worship. I can promise you that it will look like nothing you've ever seen before. But please join us for time of worship and communion as we gather together next Sunday here. Also next Sunday after worship, there will be a discussion with Presbyterian Promise about gay marriage and some of the overtures that are coming to the General Assembly this year around that issue. That'll be downstairs, so plan to get your refreshments and join us for that discussion downstairs as well. And Pastor B has an announcement about this morning, too.
You'll see in the bulletin opening song, and it says a cappella. Don't worry. We're just going to try something a little new. Jenny and Gina are going to lead a couple of songs for us. There will be words up on the screen for you to follow. You may know Jenny's had a lot of camp experience, and so I called upon her to help lead this because they're the kind of songs that we used to do in Bible school with kids and at camps with kids. And so I hope everybody just has fun. There's no right or wrong to it. And after the call to worship, Jenny and Gina will come up and lead you in those two songs. That's why there are no names or anything in the bulletin for you.
Other announcements this morning? Yes, Brooke, if you would come forward.
I usually come for the second seating, so I'm not sure how this whole announcement thing works. For the past couple of months, almost every week, we've been getting one of these. I don't know if you can see what they are, but they're certified mail, and they all come from our bank. Our bank either has a new diligent employee or some better, more sophisticated software, and it spots errors in checks that have been made out to the church. So. And when they do this, it not only requires them to send us the certified mail, but it also requires our our good, faithful servant, Dan Blackford, to go down to the post office and retrieve these things. So for our part, we're now trying to be a little bit more diligent about checking. The two things that are usually our fault are the date, either dated too far into the future, you know, like after today, or way back into the past sometime, or a lack of a signature. So we're trying to monitor them and look for dates and for signatures, correct dates and signatures. But if you can do your part and try to make sure you make your checkout correctly, we would really appreciate it. Thank you.
We are also, really, we are working on the online giving possibilities, so please stay tuned for some of that, hopefully coming soon, that information coming soon. Are there any other announcements this morning?
This Saturday, May 3rd, is the annual fundraiser for Boy Scout Providence Troop 28, of which many of the members are members of this church. It's a pancake breakfast with lots of foods other than pancakes. It's an all-you-can-eat affair. It's at the Central Congregational Church, which is just right down the street on Angel Street, from 8 until 11. It's $7 for an individual ticket, $20 for a family ticket, regardless of the size of the family, and it's all-you-can-eat. Good deal, and the Scouts would appreciate your support if you're able. Thank you.
And I think you can go that day and buy tickets. You can probably also get tickets from Nathan Moles and from Sharon Gibson too, probably this morning. But it is a great breakfast and a great way to support our community. Other announcements. Let us join together in the responsive call to worship. Alleluia, praise be to God. Christ has risen indeed. We bring our joyful alleluias to worship God today. The tomb is empty and new life surrounds us in flowering daffodils and budding trees, in joyful smiles and warm friendships. Excitement of new life present in this day. Come, let us worship our God of wondrous resurrections.
So we are going to sing two different songs. We're going to sing This Is the Day first, and then just want to make sure that was what was projected. And then we're going to sing Allelu, which most of you are probably familiar with. What we're going to do is we're going to sing through each song together as a group first, and then we will break up. Both songs can be broken up into one this side and then that side. So as you can see, side one and side two, they're nicely labeled that way. So we'll sing them all together first. This is side one, and that is side two. Thank you for the clarification, Lee. And we're going to ask everybody to stand, please. And we'll just explain after. Do you want to just explain after the next one? Yeah. All right. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice.
So
the second one is Alu, Alu, Praise Ye the Lord, which we will sing together all together first, but in true camp style, and we've done this with the children's choir, they're familiar with it as well. We are going to, when it is your turn to sing, you're going to stand up. And when it's not your turn to sing, you're going to sit down. And if you're not comfortable with that, you can just stand the whole time. But we figured it'd also be another way to get that heart pumping a little bit. And then we're going to settle down into the confession. All right, so we'll sing through it once all together as a group. Alu, 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 alleluia, praise ye the Lord. Alu, 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 alleluia, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, alleluia, praise ye the Lord, alleluia, praise ye the Lord, alleluia, praise ye the Lord.
All right, so we're done that side, sit down. Are you guys ready? All right. Yeah, it's, you know, make it your own. We just thought we'd have a little bit more fun with it. All right. One, two, three.
Alu, 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 alleluia, praise ye the Lord. Alu, 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 alleluia, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Alleluia. Praise ye the Lord. Alleluia. Praise ye the Lord. Alleluia. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for your courageousness there.
Thanks, Jenny. Let us breathe deep as we sense God's Spirit anew in our lives. Rejoicing in the power of God's overwhelming love, we come with confidence to the God who has the power to forgive our sin, heal our brokenness, and lead us to new life. Let us come in that spirit, confessing our sins and reaching for the new life that is ours with Easter, first in silence and then as we pray together. Together we pray. Holy God, forgive us our sins. We cling to those who have died and are bound by our memories of a perfect past. We hold tight to our preconceptions about God and are unwilling to experience the holy in new ways. We clutch the Easter holiday rather than letting resurrection change our lives. Meet us in our dark places. Give us peace and forgive us our fears and sins. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, O Lord, Hear My Prayer, number 2200 in the Sing the Faith hymnal, the small hymnal, remaining seated. Jesus came into the world that the world might be saved through him. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and freed to new life. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, we come together to share our joys and our concerns.
We found out yesterday that one of Walter's daughters, her name is Janice, just found out yesterday that she has a grapefruit-sized tumor growing inside her, attached to her ovaries and trying to attach to other organs, and is pressing on the muscles of her back, and so she's in excruciating pain. So she can't get a doctor to schedule surgery until Monday, so we have great prayers for asking for prayers for her. I'd also like to ask prayers for two of our pastors. One that is in the town that the student was stabbed to death. Her name's Anne Marie Meyerhofer. And the other one is nearby. Her name is Adele Crawford, as they cope with their parishioners and other people who need counseling at this point.
I want praise for Julie as she goes on her travels for 3 weeks and safe travels with her and her dog, because she makes me worry while she's driving out there on her little journeys all on her own. So I'll just praise for her. Thank you.
Continued prayers. Last week I asked for prayers for Biana, who is my my nephew's 16-year-old girlfriend. She was recently diagnosed with a Chiari malformation, which is kind of her brain is growing too large for her skull, and it's causing all kinds of health problems. But her home community is holding a fundraiser next weekend for her, so just prayers for the community to come together to help with her increased medical bills. So thank you.
I would ask for prayers for our confirmands and their mentors. We will be meeting with the teens this Friday in order to craft and think about statements of faith and whether or not they're ready to make a decision to join this congregation. So, you know, it's a big step if you're a kid or even, a teenager. And so pray for the mentors that we can have wisdom and pray for the adolescents that they can have discernment and clarity in how they will move forward.
I'd like to ask for words of joy for sisters. Mine was here with me for 2.5 weeks. She's been with me for the last 70 years of my life, and that is a long and very special relationship. She flies back to Albuquerque this evening from Washington, D.C., so I ask for safe travels also.
I'll also jump in with prayers for sisters and Thanksgiving for sisters. My sisters have orchestrated my parents' move this weekend to Merrill Gardens in Renton, and I am extremely grateful to them, and my parents are feeling very well supported. Thank you all for your prayers.
I'd like prayers for first for Sophie, who has been sick for the past couple days with a fever and earache. But also prayers for Dave's father, who was taken to the hospital yesterday. And they are thinking that it may be ischemic colitis. They're not sure. He's supposed to see a general surgeon today. He's in a small community hospital at this point, so things are not moving as quickly as Dave would like. So just prayers that things happen at the right moment for him and
and prayers for Dave, too. Thanks.
I'd like prayers for an old friend. His name is Winky, and Winky, it's an unusual name. And he is just living with chronic pain and very discouraged and in despair, and just would love prayers for God to comfort and encourage him. Thanks.
Let us pray. God of all life, we belong to you, and we celebrate again your great gift of new life in a world surely needing light and life. We pray this day for the works toward peace and justice in our land and in the Middle East, in places far and known and unknown to us. We pray for those who continue to live in the midst and in the aftermath of disasters in South Korea and Malaysia. Touch them with your presence and a special measure of your comfort in these dark days. We pray for all those who grieve this day, for the community of Milford, Connecticut, in the loss of Marin this week, for those pastors so close to Newtown, Connecticut, Anne Marie and Adele, who seek to bring Easter hope in the midst of this season. And we pray for safety for all high school students everywhere in these days. We give thanks, O God, for the blessings and joys of life, for the joy of our Easter celebrations and the gifts of so many, reminding us of your steadfast presence. For our upcoming new members class and those who are considering joining formally with us, for leadership and new officer prospects here, may they be open to your call. We give thanks, O God, that you are at work in our confirmation class this season through teachers and mentors, through the youth as they gather together, and we pray for your spirit to be upon them as they enter into these final weeks of discernment for this year-long process. We give thanks, O God, for the joys and opportunities that many have had to travel to family and friends, and pray for safe travel in this season. We thank you for sisters, for Lorna and her time with CJ in these weeks of this month, for Julie's opportunity to travel to her brother in Pennsylvania, for Jen and Val in making my parents' move happen. We pray, O God, in continuing ongoing need for those who have needs for your healing and support in these days, in long struggles of unemployment, in discouragement, for those who battle mental illness and recoveries from addiction. We pray for Stan and Kojo, for Janice, for relief from pain and a quick surgical response, for Brianna, for Sophie, for Dave's father, for Winky. We pray that, Lord, that you would, as you know the needs of these people, you would be where they need you to be in this moment and in this time. We continue to give thanks for those who seek to be a witness to faith with their lives. We pray for Nancy Collins' travel in Malawi during this week and the work of the Chisefu Theological College, for the work of our presbytery as it meets this Saturday, for candidates in this congregation, Kathy Cooper and Gerson Roca. Guide us forth, O God, ever grateful as your people, as we journey into this continuing season of Easter, that we may see and follow you alone this day and all days, through the power of the one who teaches us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It's time for the children. You ever seen one of these? You know what it is? This is a can of air. It's a can of air. Do you see it? Look, real fast. Do you see it? No. You heard it, yeah, but you can't see air, can you? Can you? Let me see. Let me see. Can you feel it? Yeah? Do you want to feel it? Everybody feeling it? Yeah, you can do it too. Do you feel it? Yeah. You can feel it, can't you? Yeah. Did you feel it? You felt it? You can feel air. Can't you? But you can't see it. But we know we have to have air around us, don't we? How do we know we have air around us? We feel it. How can we feel it? On our body, if the wind blows or we blow on our hands, we can feel it. So we know there's air around us. We can breathe. We couldn't breathe if there wasn't air around us, right?
Yeah.
Right. So we know there's air. Yeah. That's right. That's right. You can tell the difference. Yeah. There's no water. There's no air that you could breathe underwater.
But
right. Yeah, you could breathe in if you have the right kind of mask on. Right. But you have air coming in some of these masks. But so we know there's air, but you know what? Sometimes there are things we can't see that we have to believe it's there, right? One of the things we have to believe is there that we can't see is God. We can't see God, but we know God is there. And we know air is there. So, you know, that's what faith is. It's believing in things that you can't ever really see. And so we can't really see God. We read stories about God. We hear people tell about God. And sometimes maybe we can almost feel like God's right there with us. Sometimes. But we can't really see God. So we just have to believe that God's there, just like we believe in air. Okay, so we believe in God, even though we can't see God. All right? Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you are there, even when we can't see you. Help us to feel your presence and your love surrounding us always, and to always know you're there, even if we can't see you. Amen. Okay, you can go to your classes now.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please let us pray. God, source of all light, by your word, you give light to the soul. Pour out on us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that our hearts and minds may be open to know your truth and your way. Amen. Today, our first Bible reading will be taken from First Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. Please, let's hear the word of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Our second lesson. Our second lesson will be taken from John chapter 20, verse 19 to 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciple had met. Please, I'm taking it again. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciple had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and put his hand in his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. Forgiving them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God.
Thank you.
I think that Thomas has gotten a bad reputation. I think there's probably a part of me that's always has come to the defense of somebody who people like to label, you know, always went to the defense of those students in the classroom, you know, in the teacher's lounge, somebody said, oh, Billy's always such a troublemaker. And I would want to make sure that Billy was the sweetest kid in my class. And so there's this thing in me that when I start reading this passage from John and it talks about Thomas, there's this thing in me that just, it just niggles at me. And I just want to say, well, maybe Thomas wasn't so bad. And so I looked at this text and I looked at it and I thought about it and I talked about it with the worship committee the other night. And I'm still basically wrestling with it. But I think there is, you know, there's like three different sections to this text that was read this morning. And I decided later in the week that that first part that we heard is about Jesus interacting with these disciples in supposedly a locked room. Well, if you look at the Greek, it's not even locked, it's just closed. Well, the thing is, the point is that Jesus appears inside a room that supposedly he should not have access to. But I had this image of these other disciples sitting there, gathered. It's the evening of Easter. I just have an impression of a dark, silent room with them all sitting there huddled in fear. What happened? They seem to have totally forgotten that Mary came rushing in breathless earlier today and said, I have seen the Lord. And now here they are. They're not sitting there chatting about it, apparently. They're just in this room with the door closed. And the events of the morning, which should have been so phenomenal, so memorable, aren't even being mentioned. And they don't talk. Jesus comes in, gives them a charge, blesses them with peace, and that's the end of it. So I get intrigued when it says that Thomas wasn't there. It doesn't tell us, and that bothers me in Scripture. It doesn't always tell us everything. I wonder where Thomas was. I wonder if maybe Thomas really believed Mary. And he's not in there with the scaredy cats. He's out looking around for Jesus, who supposedly is risen. Mary saw him. Where is he? Maybe Thomas is out there making the rounds trying to figure out where Jesus is. And if he is, he's being a very courageous person because all of the other disciples are huddling in fear. And yet Thomas apparently has the courage to be out and about in the city. Shouldn't surprise us, actually, because Thomas, if you will recall the story of Lazarus rising from the dead, Jesus was with his disciples away from the city. And at the time when he said, oh, let's go back to Judea, the disciples said, oh, why would you want to do that? They want to stone you there. You better stay here where it's safe. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So Thomas has a very special relationship with Jesus. And when Jesus was crucified, unfortunately, he did not die with him. He was so courageous when he wasn't in Judea. All the disciples were courageous before it came down to the crucifixion, when they all deserted him. Maybe Thomas isn't there because he's feeling remorse for having deserted Jesus earlier. And that's feeding his desire to go out and find Jesus. Really see that Mary is right. And so he's not there. And he doesn't believe the other disciples when they say, we saw Jesus, he's risen. Think about what people might say to you that you might not believe. If I walked in here and said, I saw a ghost at the foot of my bed last night, would you believe me? Maybe, if you think I'm credible. If my son started telling you a story, I would tell you, don't believe him. He tells these long stories, and his daughter sits there with a question mark in her eyes. She knows she's just getting a big, long fishtail. So what about these other disciples? Maybe they've given him a hard time and told him long stories that weren't really true, and maybe he doesn't have a reason to believe them. On the other hand, they apparently didn't believe Mary when she told them she had seen the risen Jesus. Why should he believe them if they didn't believe Mary? Why should he be any different? Why should he get a bad rap? Because they didn't believe Mary. So here we have Thomas. And all of a sudden, maybe, he has this demand. And he says, I won't believe unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side. I will not believe. Maybe Thomas has his back against the wall. The other disciples are giving him a hard time because he's not believing what they told him after all. And so he lashes out and he says, well, I won't believe unless this happens. The amazing part of the story to me is Jesus knows exactly what he needs in order to believe. And he comes back to the closed room. He comes back not with accusations but with compassion. And he says to Thomas, take a look. See what you want to see. If this is what you need to believe, then look, here I am. And he didn't rush him, he didn't question him, he didn't push him. Jesus stood there in the middle of the room. Scripture doesn't tell us whether Thomas actually took advantage of the opportunity to touch him or not. Maybe all it took was for Jesus to show up in that room. But Thomas utters the most profound confession of faith. My Lord and my God. In those brief words, Thomas is claiming Jesus as the Lord who the community will follow, the Lord, their earthly Lord and Savior. And he's also recognizing the divinity because he says, my Lord and my God. My God, the divine. So Thomas, not the other disciples, but Thomas is the one who recognizes Jesus for all that he is, human and divine and Lord, God. The crux of the problem seems to be that, I don't know for how many centuries now, where Jesus said, do not doubt, but believe. And what it actually is translated there is, I'm not a Greek scholar, but it is wrong. It says actually, apistos. Belief is pistos, and this is apistos. It doesn't say doubt at all. If you remember the scene when Jesus is walking on the water and Peter wants to walk out to him on the water, and Peter starts out there and starts to sink and panics and everything, and Jesus says to him something about doubt. Of course, I can't find it this minute. But he says, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And the word that he actually uses is not the same word, it's distazo. So it is a different word entirely. So Thomas has been called the doubter for all of these years, and the word is not even doubt. And how many sermons have been preached over the perils of doubting?
Doubting Thomas is even in Webster's dictionary. And it is a total misnomer. I can just imagine the ministers who have preached on this particular part and have talked about doubt and how doubting Thomas is not what we want to be. And yet this Thomas, and Andrew can talk to this probably far better than I can, is a man of legend in India. He took Christianity to southeastern India. The state of Tamil Nadu has churches all over the place called St. Thomas. Thomas was supposedly even martyred near the city of Chennai. And you can go there now and find and visit his tomb. Rather than doubting about Thomas, it seems to me that we should be amazed by this Thomas who had so much faith and believed in Christ so thoroughly that he would go to the ends of the world to proclaim the good news. So, what about doubt? The word does not appear in here. But he's questioned. And what it literally is translated as saying is, "A believe," or unbelief versus belief. But don't we all have moments where we question, where we might have unbelief? And Jesus doesn't reprimand him. He gives him the opportunity to come to belief by giving him what he needs in order to arrive at belief. And we all come to belief in a variety of ways. Some of us are raised in a church and we hear about Jesus from the time we were little tiny children. We have little bedtime stories and we say little bedtime prayers. But others only hear maybe a mention of Jesus, maybe at Christmas and Easter in a secular setting where somebody maybe says something. Where and how do we come to faith? We don't all have necessarily a moment where we can say, "I know when I believed." But for Thomas, he had that relationship with Jesus, and it grew and it grew and it grew. And then Jesus was crucified. But then when he sees the risen Lord, his relationship grows. So from that one moment of questioning, maybe not a moment, a day of doubt perhaps, but of questioning, wondering, of perhaps finding his faith a little shaky, a greater faith has grown. So rather than the perils of doubt, I would suggest that Thomas is an example to us of the benefits of questioning and having moments of unfaith. And when Jesus meets us in that place, our faith will be renewed and will grow beyond what we ever imagined. And perhaps we also will proclaim the good news, maybe not to the ends of the earth, but at least to the ends of Providence. Believe the good news. Jesus Christ is risen. Amen.
Will you please join me as we affirm our faith together? We trust in Jesus Christ,
fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world. God raised this Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from death to life eternal.
When Sadie Seaton died nearly 8 years ago in this congregation, as the oldest living member of this congregation, just shy of 100 years, she left some money to this congregation. There was a check sent to the session, and the session determined that the best way to honor her life and legacy would be to establish a scholarship fund. Sadie sat right back there where Edward Walrod is sitting as the entry to coffee hour and shook the hands, hugged, kissed, said goodbye, said hello to anyone who came down the center aisle. She couldn't see very well, she couldn't hear very well, but her life was dedicated to children she never had of her own. She established a scholarship fund to specifically help children she had known in the life of this congregation through the Sadie Seaton Foundation, and she also left money for this church to share. Session decided to honor her legacy by establishing a scholarship fund that would give opportunity for youth and young people in the life of this church to branch out and experience new dimensions of their faith and witness. And this year, it's our privilege to announce that Sujay Knotson, who has been part of our college fellowship since he started at Brown University, is the recipient of the Sadie Seaton Fund scholarship this year as he prepares to travel to Uganda. And he's going to share a few words about that experience that he is looking forward to and to which he leaves shortly after school is out. Sujay, please come forward.
First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for actually giving me this opportunity to go abroad, because I have not done fundraising on such a scale before. So I was like, when I first heard of the amount that I had to raise, I was like kind of taken aback, and I was like, wow, that's a lot. And I was, you know, like a month ago or something, I shared with you guys about my fundraising efforts, and you guys just came forward with a lot of love and just a lot of giving. I just felt really blessed by all your love that you've shown me so far. And sharing more about actually why I want to go on this mission trip, it's like, when Jesus actually tells his disciples to go forward in Matthew chapter 28, like, that thing has always stuck on my mind, because I've never done any mission trips growing up. And like, the reason why is because, like, whenever there were mission trips, like, I always had a conflicting schedule. I was also like serving in the military for like 2 years or so as like national service, so it kind of always got in the way of serving for God on the mission field. So like, finally, when I actually came to Brown, I got this opportunity to do it. And we've been actually preparing since December for this trip. We are leaving in June. So I'm actually leaving on the 31st of May, which is basically next month. So we'll be there for like a month and a half. And we are working with this organization called Child Voice International. So Child Voice International is actually this nonprofit organization that aims to restore the voices of children whose voices have been silenced by war. And they're basically children affected by the child soldiers, and also working with the women there who've been affected by the child soldiers issues. So a lot of them have not gotten a good education. So we're there to give them, like, I'm actually going to be, like, my primary work would be more like teaching Bible lessons and also teaching them English through that. And I will also be working with churches there to go door to door to have spiritual conversations with people, inviting them to church. And also working with the women there to give them like life skills training, because they have not gotten any kind of experience working, because they were child soldiers when they're growing up. So this has affected their capability to actually work in the real world. and we'll be working with the organization there to help them actually get like proper jobs. At the same time, as I'm leaving, I actually just got an email from them recently, and they're actually asking for donations of like old kids' clothes. So if you have like little children in your house and they have clothes that you don't really want, you could just pass them to me in the coming weeks before I leave my trip. I do have a luggage constraint, so maybe not too much, but I mean, I would accept anything that you guys can give. So thank you so much once again for this opportunity.
Giving thanks to God who has richly blessed us in our lives, we will now receive the tithe and offering. Please let us pray. Gracious God, your gifts are more than we can abundantly ask or assume. Bless them now with your spirit that they might further your will on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Thank you.
in joy and peace, celebrating that we serve a risen Lord. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And let the people say, Alleluia. Amen.